Is this holiday season going to be a time of busyness or of drawing closer to Jesus? We're going to talk about it on Grounded.
I really am prone to become so busy during the Christmas season that I am distracted from my time with the Lord.
I just started to add all the traditions in my life that other people had found so successful. And before long, instead of those many traditions encouraging my love of Jesus, they were actually draining me.
We just had differences on how to celebrate Christmas, what it looked like, how it should feel. And what we realized is a lot of times we're fighting for control. And it's not really about the lights, it's not really about the decorations, it's not really about the food, but it's about what is God teaching us.
Do something to be intentional about making sure that the month of December is full of Jesus.
Hello, friends. Welcome to the Grounded Podcast. We plan to post new episodes every week starting in January of 2021. Between now and then, we're going to post bonus episodes like this one.
I'm so glad you're here. I'm Dana Gresh.
And I'm Erin Davis. I'm honored to be a part of the team at Revive Our Hearts that assembles Grounded for you each week so that you can have an infusion of hope and perspective. Grounded is also a weekly video cast recorded live each Monday. To see that, subscribe to the Revive Our Hearts YouTube channel.
Well, Erin, my friend, how was your Thanksgiving day?
Oh, I'm still stuffed. My kids were hungry like 4 hours later, and I was like, I don't need to eat for a week. Like so many of you, I'm sure my holiday gathering was much smaller this year, but my grocery shopping didn't get the memo. I still cooked like all the grandparents and all the cousins and all the aunts and all the uncles were with us. So I may have enough leftovers to carry us through till New Year's Eve.
New Year's Eve? How can you be thinking about New Year's Eve yet, my friend? I am on full on Christmas mode at the Gresh house, as you can see.
I like it. Well, I hear you. And I like to keep those holidays separate too, so that they're special. Mm-hmm. But I do have New Year's on the brain a little bit this morning. And here's why. I want you to picture the next few weeks, maybe the month of December, like a Christmas movie. You got it? Your hair looks good, first of all.
I'm liking this game a lot. Keep going.
Okay. And you have a gorgeous Christmas coat. I always want those Christmas coats those girls have in those Christmas movies.
Yeah.
And all of your kids have matching pajamas, of course. And now I want you to imagine we can use that fast forward feature that movies sometimes do. Like everything in the holidays unfolds at warp speed. The lights go up really fast. The food comes out. The presents gets unwrapped. It all happens super fast. Can you picture it?
Okay. I can picture it, but here's the thing. Is it all right if we go at half speed so I can savor it? But nonetheless, I'm tracking with you.
You're tracking with my pretend holiday movie. Okay, yeah. So here's what happens. The camera zooms in on you in that no man's land between Christmas and New Year's where you don't know what day it is or where you are, right? And here's the question. What do you hope Jesus has done in your heart this month?
Wow. Didn't see that ending that way, but here's the deal. I honestly, Erin, I want to know that I've sat at Jesus' feet instead of missing the chance to be with him. Like I often do when I just get so busy with the commercialism and the craze. I hate to say that. And a lot of times between Christmas and New Year's, there's a lot of regret in my heart. And I feel the pressure to enter the new year pushing reset with the turning of the calendar and getting back into God's word. And this year, I want to know I was with him, that I didn't come out of God's word, that I am with him during this season that is all about him.
I love that. I can picture that ending to your 2020 Christmas, Dana.
Oh, thank you, my friend. Hold me to it. What about you, Erin? How does your Christmas movie end?
Well, you know, every year there's this moment when I'm at candlelight Christmas Eve service at my church with my family. And we have this tradition in my church where we pass the flame from one person to the next and we sing Silent Night. And there's a part of that every year where I kind of look down the pew and I see my children's faces aglow and my parents and my friends. And there's just this sense, I could choke up thinking about it now, that Jesus is so near. And as I think about my Christmas 2020 and how I hope that movie ends in my life, I want to have that glow this season and that perpetual sense that Jesus is so near, because he is.
Well, what about you? Take just a moment and fast forward through the next several weeks in your mind. Picture yourself and your family the day after Christmas or heading into the new year. What do you want the Lord to do in your heart?
You know, we really are a family here on Grounded, and like all families, we are really looking forward to celebrating Christmas together. But before all the Christmas planning and all the buying and all the celebrating goes into full swing, I just feel like we're right on the edge of just full swing into Christmas. We want to dedicate an episode of Grounded, this episode, to considering how do we make this season, this Advent season, truly meaningful.
Amen. I love this topic. Well, Barbara Riok is with us. She's here to show us how to get to December 26th with a bigger, better view of Jesus. And I just met her for the first time before the program. She is a delight. You are not going to want to miss a second of what she has to share.
Barbara is, as you like to say, Dana, a joy bomb. And yeah. I can wait for her to explode here on Grounded. If you're not already in the Christmas spirit, I guarantee you're gonna in the next few minutes, but we are excited to welcome her on soon. And our friends Ray and Robin McKelvey are here too. I just love it when the McKelveys drop by, and we know that you love it too. They're gonna help us consider how to make this time special for our marriages too. Even, I'm sure this happens at homes other than mine, if our idea of a perfect Christmas is a little different from our mate. So we would encourage you to help us spread the word. We really do rely on you to tell other women that Grounded is on. You know, I've said it here before, but I am praying for an audacious number of women to tune into Grounded on a regular basis. And that's because there's an audacious number of women who need hope and perspective this season and every season. So help us out. Let them know we're here.
I hope you know how much we love hearing from you. And knowing that God is giving you hope and perspective through our time together. One woman, Anne, wrote to us this week. She writes, listening to your program, I had a complete turnaround. I like that. And then she writes, I received such a blessing as I was getting ready to have a pity party because of not having a normal Thanksgiving meal with our family. Anne, I hear you. Our gathering was way too small this year. But then she wrote, I love the post-it note idea. Thank you. I'm grateful. Friends, if you missed that post-it note idea, you need to go back and watch last week's episode. We'll drop the link. You can always watch any of our past episodes at YouTube.
Yep. And our gifted co-hosts are waiting in the virtual wings. Alejandra, Portia, welcome back to Grounded. Tell me you've got some good news.
We love to kick off every episode of Grounded with good news. And this week's story comes from one of our very own Grounded viewers. She might be watching us right now, actually. And her name is Jeanette, and she's a pastor's wife. And she's a frequent Grounded viewer who's committed to encouraging the women in her church through this challenging year.
That's right. Jeanette is a good news ambassador. Jeanette wrote to us to say, I have listened to Grounded through the stay-at-home time, and I kept listening. Often I would send out an email to the women in my church, reteaching your truth that was shared on the program, or to share your good news that you shared. You encouraged me, and in turn, I would encourage others.
And you know what? Jeanette was listening on November 9th when we call that episode, Tell Me About Your War. And we ended that show by declaring what truth of God's word we were standing on. And then Erin said on that episode something very interesting. She said, cling, cling, reminding us that God's truth is a sword.
Absolutely. Jeanette took that idea to a whole nother level. She emailed the women from her church and asked them to share one truth from God's word that they were standing on. And she got 45 passages of scripture back in response.
So Jeanette added the truth she is standing on to the list, which was Isaiah 12:2. And that verse, combined with the 45 verses she received back from the women in her church, added up to 36 truths to stand on. So she sent those 46 truths out to the women in her church to inspire them and encourage them to stand firm on God's word.
But then she looked at her calendar and there were, get this y'all, 46 days left in 2020. Since November 16th, Jeanette has been sending out a truth a day to the women in her church. She wrote us to say, I told the women that instead of high fives, we were raising our swords and clinking them together as we speak the truth. I got the picture in my head of us standing together, finishing off 2020 well. Heads up, swords up, standing on truth.
You know, one of the women in Jeanette's church has been diagnosed with MS during this pandemic. And that woman is just one of the women that's also standing on truth. And that lady said, I still have MS, but it doesn't have me. I trust the Lord for all of my tomorrows. That's powerful.
Amen. Yes, yes. That is super powerful. I've got like goosebumps.
Yes. Me too. You know, Portia, I've heard lots of people talking about they cannot wait for 2020 to be over. But these women are standing strong with the sword of truth ready, completely ready. Now, my friends, that's good news. So go grab your sword.
Yes, yes. And I clink my sword with you, Jeanette. Thank you for sharing your good news. Thank you for encouraging others to finish this year grounded in God's word. And speaking of being grounded in God's word, Erin, tell us where we're going in our Bibles this morning.
Oh, man, I love that good news. Portia, I was with you when your hands were up in the air. I so celebrate what the Lord is doing through Jeanette and people like her. And we're going to turn in our Bibles this morning to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews 9, chapter 28. I hope you always, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28. I hope you always keep your Bible handy when you're watching Grounded, because we always want to point you to God's word. You know what? Here is what I'm going to give us this morning. I'm going to give hope to those who wait. We should be experts at waiting, shouldn't we? I mean, God's people have been waiting essentially since the Garden of Eden. I suppose there was a very brief moment in human history that didn't involve waiting. Two little chapters in the book of Genesis, most of which humanity didn't exist. God was creating planets and skies and waters and all of that. But for two little chapters in Genesis, we see Adam and Eve living free from sin and in an unbroken fellowship with God. But that didn't last long. And we've been waiting ever since. Throughout the Old Testament, we see so much waiting. God's people were waiting to be delivered from slavery in Egypt. And then they were waiting to get to the promised land. And then they get to the promised land and they have to wait even longer to enter the promised land and conquer the enemies who live there. And that whole time, throughout all of that waiting, they were waiting for a Messiah to deliver them from the even heavier chains of sin and death. And Advent essentially celebrates that that wait is over. Jesus came as a baby to die as our Savior, ending the wait for a Messiah who could deliver us from sin and death. And so Advent is a celebration that He's here, that Jesus is the one that mankind has been waiting for. And He, in His mercy, is Emmanuel, God with us. And Advent is a month-long celebration that our most desperate wait is over. So here's a question. Why does it still feel like we're waiting? Because it does. To me, it feels like I'm in a perpetual waiting room. Maybe you have the tradition of lighting a candle each Sunday at Advent. I endeavor to have that tradition at my house, but I have a toddler who keeps taking the candles off the table. But it's a tradition that you would light a candle each Sunday as you wait for Christmas morning. And today I thought I would light some candles in honor of you, those of you who wait. So this morning, I light a candle for those of you who are waiting for your body to be healed. And I light a candle in honor of your wait. And this morning, I light a candle for those of you waiting for a relationship to be reconciled. Maybe it's your marriage. Maybe it's with your children or a friend. I light a candle in honor of your wait. And for those of you waiting to be free from the effects of sin, maybe it's your sin or someone else's, I light a candle in honor of your wait. And then one more, one candle for all of us who are waiting with desperate hope. Let me read to us Hebrews 9, verse 28. I've got it right here. So Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. That's me. I am eagerly waiting for him. And I bet that's you too. This moment described here in the book of Hebrews is the moment we've all been waiting for. When Jesus returns, not as Emmanuel, God with us, but to rescue and redeem us so that we will be with him forever. Advent is essentially a way to redeem the wait. As we wait for Christmas morning, those of us who celebrate Advent, we use that wait to focus on Jesus, the one we're waiting to celebrate. And for Advent and beyond, as we await the return of our Savior, I light a candle for those of us who wait. So how do we wait well? How do we avoid wasting the wait? It's good for us to long for his return. I do. But how do we wait well? Let's flip forward just a little bit to Hebrews 10, 23 through 25. I've got it handy. Hebrews 10, 23 through 25 says this. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. Without wavering. That's how we wait well. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Here in 2020, we're living in the time of Advent. It is between Christ's first coming and his second as we wait for the moment that all of history is groaning for. And how does God's word encourage us to wait? There's such practical words and phrases in this passage. They're not, you know, big, high thoughts that we can't do. It says, don't waver. It says, consider how to stir each other up towards love and good works and meet together to encourage each other. Yes, we're waiting. And the waiting is uncomfortable. But we can wait well with great hope and remind each other that as God's children, we are the candle. We are the light of hope in a dark and broken world. And so here's our hope for those who wait. He is coming back, and it won't be long now. The long wait will be over at last, and Advent reminds us to wait with expectant hope.
If ever we have had a year where we needed to be reminded that there is going to be a day when all this brokenness is made right, it's this one, at least in my lifetime. You know, friends, I made the mistake of believing as we entered the holiday season over the weekend that safer at home orders in my home state would maybe save me from the time crunch of the holidays this year. I was wrong. I had not one, but two Thanksgiving dinners to help plan and prepare for because we needed to keep the gathering small to keep some of the elderly in our home safe. And then my mom's church, which always has this traditional hanging of the greens carol to kick off the Christmas season, well, suddenly it had to be done outside. So Farmer Bob and I loaded up some llamas and fainting goats for a living nativity outdoors. So What happened is this weekend reminded me of how mindful I have to be to keep my heart and my mind on the right things as the day draws towards our Savior's birthday celebration. If you want to keep your heart and mind on Jesus, but you, like me, sometimes struggle with the busyness, you're in the right place today. Barbara Riach is with us. She's the mother of three and grandmother of seven. As the director of Bible Study Fellowship's Children's Division, she has a burden for young ones to gain great theological depth and biblical literacy, but that burden is really for the whole family. She's the author of two Advent devotionals for families, including the newly released A Better Than Anything Christmas. Barbara, welcome to Grounded.
Good morning, Dana. It's great to be with you today.
Thank you. I got to tell you, last night I had to do my nails for the first time in many, many months because I wanted to be able to hold up this beautiful book. I really seriously did. I was like, the book deserves beautiful nails. So tell us, what is A Better Than Anything Christmas?
A Better Than Anything Christmas is a powerful tool that really will be useful for helping our kids understand the truth about why Jesus came and who he is and what are the gifts that he comes to give to us. So I'm praying that many families will be blessed this year. I understand the rush and the crush of Christmas that you just referred to. I kind of did think that our COVID situation would curtail some of those activities. And I think that has happened somewhat, but parents will find that with perhaps some of that extra time, that this is the best time to impress our kids with the love and the truth of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it's a good title for all of us. Jesus is better than anything. He's better than that pumpkin pie bread that I ate too many slices of last night. He's better than all the gifts that can come under the tree. He's better than the gatherings. He's better than the staff Christmas party that got canceled, which I now have to plan a scavenger hunt to replace. He's better than all of that. As women, as moms, grandmothers, we have the opportunity to set the tone for our families to approach the Christmas season. We get to control that to some degree. Why did you write these two Advent devotionals that help families do that?
Parents really do want to do that. They want to be able to talk to their kids about the most eternally significant truth that we can ever convey to our kids. It's just a lot of times we don't know how to do that.
Yeah.
We don't know how to simplify. We don't know how to clarify. We don't know how to give the big truths in simple ways. And so, we've not had a model for that, but now we're kind of in a situation where a lot of our churches don't have the children's ministry that they had up and running before COVID started. So this book is a tool in the to place in the hands of parents or grandparents that says, here is a simple way to use 10 minutes powerfully in the life and hearts of your kids this Christmas.
I love that. You know, I have to be a bit contrary. And let's just talk about, no matter what Advent tool you're using, regular life makes family defaults difficult. But I do think that even though things are going to be virtual, what I'm hearing is that Christmas gatherings, even though they're changing, we aren't actually losing. I didn't over the weekend lose some of my responsibilities. I gained some. Mm. So what's the key to being successful with a family Advent tradition?
This time of COVID restrictions has required so much flexibility on our parts. And a lot of us are just plain worn out with trying to punt and do the next thing and try to figure it out really quickly to make it happen. But I would suggest that if you can put some kind of regularity into the schedule to allow it. Time is like being in a jungle. You have to clear it away. And if you don't keep it cleared, it just grows back so quickly. So make a little patch of time. I think when the kids know what to expect, they know it's going to be fun and worthwhile. I mean, we're not talking about dry, crusty bread here. We're talking about the living bread of Jesus that we're going to be giving our kids. And there is an anticipation and enthusiasm that builds when a mom and a dad kind of bring that to the table and say, kids, for 10 minutes, we're going to do this. Maybe light a candle like Aaron did so that you have some kind of tradition connected with it. And then I think the journaling pages.
First, before we get to those, let me say, I'm hearing you say two really important things. One is it's okay if it's brief.
Absolutely.
You know what? We need to let go of the guilt that we have to have like a 5-point sermon and a really perfect object lesson all lined up and that we've spent an hour praying. We could just like jump in the word and jump out of the word. It's okay to be brief. And the other thing I'm hearing you saying is be regular. And I think that that is what I struggle with. And it's just what I need to be reminded of today. It's just like, is it lunchtime? Because everybody's working at home, homeschooling. You take a quick break, a 5-10 minute break. Is it dinner time? Is it bedtime? Is it morning? Find the time that works for your family and be regular. So let's talk about those family journaling spaces. The cover of the book says family journaling spaces. And you claim that that can really help our children enjoy Jesus. I have a passion to get children journaling, but not very many people share that. So I feel like we're kindred hearts here. Why do you think journaling is important for children?
Yeah, well, journaling, God kind of made our brains to sort of process things when we write them down or when we draw. When we create a poem or a song, God stirs up a broader vision of himself when we use the creative gifts that he's given us. I don't know how it works exactly, but I do know it does work. And I see kids drawing these amazing pictures about what God is showing them as they are hearing their parents read the scriptures and read the little blurb that I've written that really highlights one of the main doctrines about Jesus, something that they will want to take away from these lessons.
I feel like the reason journaling works is because we're inviting our whole brain to the party. Many times we invite just the organized, logical side of our brain to the Bible. And journaling invites the creative side to the brain. We bring our whole heart, bring your whole mind, worship him with I'm thinking of that Bible verse that says, worship him with your whole mind, your heart, your soul. I'm really paraphrasing there. But I think that's one of the things journaling does. And that's why I love your encouragement in this book. It's not just like write it, but color it. Draw a picture of what God's saying.
Yes.
Okay. So here's the deal though. We can't lead our families. I really have a burden that women would lead our families in observing Advent in their hearts. But we can't do that if we're not doing it ourselves. So let's talk about what our journals, what our prayer journals as women should be looking like as we seek to focus our hearts on what really matters in the Christmas season. What do you think?
Well, I think our journals can be very similar to what our children's journals look like. You know, we're processing what God is doing in our hearts. And I mean, I've experienced this where I'm just writing down what I have learned, let's say from Hebrews 9, what Aaron was teaching us a little earlier. And what I find is God's Holy Spirit starts to supersize the truths from his word.
I love that.
And then also personalize to what is my main takeaway for that. And that becomes a prayer for me. And that, you know, I just happen to have my, you know, prayer journal right here, and it guides me. And it's I don't decide what I'm going to pray. The prayers flow out of God's word and what he has taught me.
Yeah.
So, that's happening with our kids through drawing, through poetry, through singing. And for us, it's taking a shape through what we're learning that becomes a prayer.
You know what? I want to challenge you as you're listening that maybe you would take some time and journal the way that Barbara encourages children to journal in her new book. And that is color in your journal. draw pictures in your journal. Maybe listen to a Christmas carol, a worship song, and draw what you're hearing. Those words are so rich with truth. Maybe take a Bible verse from the Christmas story and illustrate it. I know it's going to look like a kindergartner was in your prayer journal. I do it myself, and they're not beautiful pictures, but they certainly do, as Barbara said, supersize what I've just read in God's word. Barbara, let me ask you a personal question, if I may.
Absolutely.
Do you ever struggle during the holidays to stay focused on Jesus?
I do struggle because, as you said earlier, you know, the crush of the season and the demands and the expectations of others that I be all out involved and perhaps doing what they do. You know, I had that one time in my life where I just started to add all the traditions in my life that other people had found so successful. And before long, instead of those many traditions encouraging my love of Jesus, they were actually draining me. So I have had to constantly go back, Dana, to what is God really asking of me? And I have found that it's usually the simplest, which means I do have to say no.
Yeah.
To several things, unfortunately, but saying yes to God,
yeah,
and loving Him more is the top priority.
Yeah, say no to the commercialism, no to the busyness, no to the extra party, no to the responsibilities that overwhelm you, and say yes to Jesus. It's not really saying no, it's saying yes to Jesus. I love that, Barbara. Any scripture passages that help you do that to leave us with today?
Well, I'm just, you know, my passion, of course, is with parents and grandparents who really want to pass on what they know and love about Jesus to those coming after them in their family. And that's really God's commission to us. So I particularly love Psalm 145, 4, and it says, "One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty."
I love that. That's beautiful.
He does want us to pass that on.
Let's be women that pass that on this Christmas season, whether it's starting a conversation of gratitude at your dining room table or introducing some new traditions that remind us that the reason that we're celebrating right now is Jesus. Barbara, thank you so much for being with us today. You have been such a blessing.
Thank you, Dana. It's been a joy to be with you.
Well, I don't know about you, but the comments are lighting up with women that are saying, "I needed this episode. It's helping me push reset." I want to read a comment that we got from our beloved JoJo. She is, she's been a guest a few times on the program, and she's also frequently in the comment thread. She's your friend as well as ours. And she just wrote this: "My prayer for Christmas is to have great relationships with my husband, sons, neighbors, and colleagues, to have peace, bonding, and to be a light of hope and joy to them." I love that, bringing it home. Now, here's the problem though. In my house, JoJo, the holidays seem to spark extra, let's call them conversations with the husband. You know what I'm saying? In the Gresh house, for the first time in all our Christmases together, we've finally found the way for our marriage to survive the annual white lights or multicolored lights on the tree conversation. And we agreed last weekend that we would start this year to take turns so that we don't have to have that conversation. We just know what year it is. It only took 32 years to get there, friends. But whether it's the color of the Christmas tree lights or whose family's house you're going to for Christmas dinner, marriages sometimes need help navigating Christmas. And here to do that are our dear friends, the McKelveys. Robin and Ray, welcome back to Grounded.
Thank you so much again for having us. We love this.
Well, Dana, thank you so much for talking about the white lights versus the multicolored lights, because we are different as well.
I'm the white light.
We're different in that as well.
So what we'd like to share with you guys, what are some of your family memories and traditions around the holiday? It's so easy to have this thing called marriage become a fight, and it doesn't have to be that way.
Yeah.
Because one of the things that the Lord wants us to do is always represent Him. And so anyway, it's really easy. We live in a world, in this sin cursed world, that everything, almost everything is about competition. I hear young moms say, my child started talking at 3 months. You know, they say, why? And they you think they say, why? And so they start talking at 3 months. Or my son started walking at 9 months old. He never crawled. He just started walking. And it's always competitive. You go into your preschool and elementary years, and you find that even in preschool and elementary school, there's competitions. You get into junior high and high school, there's competitions. It's like, you know, who's going to win the spelling bee, or who's going to win the race, and this competition after competition. Then you get into high school and college, even more competitions. I want to be a part of this thing and this thing so that my transcripts look good to get into the best college. Or I want to go into grad school, so can I be a TA so I can put that on my transcripts? And then when I fill out the application for the much sought after job, we have
more. Where are you going with this?
I'm just saying there's so much that is competitive that even in marriage, it becomes competitive. And so that's one of the things. There are few things in our society that prepare us to be one in marriage. And so as you have these differences, how do you still incorporate? And I think that's a word that we want to use. We want you to leave with this word, incorporate. Think about this. When I bake, which I like to do a lot of baking and cooking, if I take butter and put it in a bowl and add sugar, and I'm going to cream that together, the butter and the sugar had to give up their true forms to become this glorious mesh of the beginning of my concoction for my whatever I'm going to bake. But I don't look in that bowl and see butter and sugar anymore. I see this light, creamy stuff that tastes delicious, and the butter and the sugar had to die to themselves. Mm. In the same way, that's what we have to do in our marriages, especially when your family traditions come up.
Yeah.
And his family does one thing one way, and he wants that to be a part of what happens in our house, and my family did traditional things another way, and I want that to be a part of my house. We have to learn to incorporate.
Yeah, and I just want you to know, Grounded Family, this is something that the McKelveys have to work at. When we were first married, I remember distinctly getting so excited, and we started having children, and my mom, I grew up in a single parent home, and she would work all year just so that we could have an incredible Christmas. And so my idea was, you buy the kids as many gifts as possible. And then Robin grew up in a family. She had 9 brothers and sisters.
It was 10 of us. And one year, I as they were passing out gifts, I noticed that my dad looked really funny. And he looked at my mom and he said, "We forgot Robin."
And did he say that out loud?
He said it to my mom. I watched because I was waiting on my gifts to come. No gifts for me. Well, my dad went upstairs and he came downstairs with a trifold wallet that he had and a little money in it. And that was my gift that year. And so these are the kind of things that can really shipwreck your marriage over something that shouldn't be if we learn to incorporate.
And you know, I just think about that. She came from a very frugal family and mine was very giving in that way. And we just had differences on how to celebrate Christmas, what it looked like, how it should feel. And what we realize is a lot of times we're fighting for control. Mm-hmm. We're fighting for control. And what we need to realize, and I think when Aaron was talking about being in the waiting room and waiting, it really touched my heart to realize this, that it is in our conflicts, it's in our differences, that it's an opportunity for transformation. And it's not really about the lights, it's not really about the decorations, it's not really about the food, but it's about, what is God teaching us? What is it that we can learn? What can I learn by incorporating Robin's life into my life? What can I learn? What can I give up? How can I defer? How can I listen and become sympathetic and become humble? Those are all things that transform us, instead of realizing it's an opportunity.
And the world is waiting. They want to see what this marriage is about. We get the privilege of representing marriage to a world that needs to see how to do become one, how you die to the me and you live for the we.
Yes.
And so it's so important that we learn to compromise in this time.
Let me tell you, Robin and Ray, I'm taking notes. I'm totally taking notes here for my own marriage. So thank you so much for being with us. And as we begin this month of celebrating the birth of Jesus, let me encourage you, as mothers and grandmothers or even friends who host gatherings, we have a big opportunity in our homes to point people to Jesus. And we want to give you, we've given you already a few tools because I think this program has been so practical. It's not even funny, but we want to keep give you more tools to keep those traditions focused on Christ.
Hey, girl, you're going to have to get off my soapbox when you bring up the word traditions, because that's just something that means so much to me. And I am very burdened to keep Christ in my traditions. And it's not that I'm offended by Elf on a Shelf or putting a pickle in a Christmas tree.
What? I mean, people put pickles in a Christmas tree?
Oh, yeah. My mom does. And I don't even have any idea why she does it. To each her own. But here's the thing. I really am prone to become so busy during the Christmas season that I am distracted from my time with the Lord.
We want to keep you grounded in Christ this Christmas. And we know you know about Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth's Advent devotional, Born a Child, Yet a King. And we're just a day into Advent, so you can still catch up and you can consider the Christmas carols, read through them, and also see how the gospel teaches us to keep focus in Christ.
Yeah, in fact, Mandy left a comment that said, what about my teenager? How do I get my teenager observing Advent? This is a great thing to do. This year's Revive Our Hearts Advent devotional is written by Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth, and it's called Born a Child and Yet a King. It'll guide you through the Christmas carols and show you how each of them is rooted in the gospel, pointing you to Jesus this holiday season. To get a copy, visit reviveourhearts.com. Well, friends, if you've heard anything this morning, I hope you've heard this. Do something to be intentional about making sure that the month of December is full of Jesus, not just the commercialism of Christmas, but the true reason for it. What's one quick idea you're going to do this Advent?
Oh, I cannot wait to read my Bible by the light of the Christmas tree. I did it this morning, and that is a gift that I just love to unwrap every morning in December. So I can't wait to do that this month. How about you, Portia?
Well, I will be walking through this little visual Advent study with my little one. And it's just scriptures. She likes the colors and stuff like that. And so just praying that she'll grow up to treasure the truths of God's word, just like her mama.
I have really a deep burden as we get through this season, just to have my quiet time intact. I want this to be the year that I do not get overwhelmed with the to-dos. I want to sit at Jesus' feet. Barbara really inspired me to do that. I want a Jesus Christmas this year, and I want it for you too, my friend. And you can count on us. Every episode of Grounded is going to point you to Him this month. So be sure to hurry back next week as we will consider how to make this the season of giving, not the season of getting. We've got some remarkable guests lined up for that episode. Grounded friends, the best Christmas is a Jesus-centered Christmas, and we are so grateful to celebrate Him with you all month long. So let's wake up with hope. Next Monday on Ground.
Grounded is a production of Revive Our Hearts, calling women to freedom, fullness, and fruitfulness in Christ.